Good morning to you all again. Welcome to Reaching Out Ministries. Some visitors there, welcome to Reaching Out Ministries. Hopefully you'll have a life-changing experience. I want to open up today by talking about past things that we have done, maybe in our teen years, that we need healing from. If we fooled around, say, sexually, we got molested, or maybe we were partakers, and Satan is holding, has you with that. Yeah, you're free. There's a scripture that says, I discussed it with Brother Steve before church, that says, confess your faults one to another. See, that's not a sin anymore. When Satan has something on you, but you know it's covered by the blood, but he is victorious in keeping you bondage, that's a fault. And sometimes there's only one way to get rid of this, is to share it with somebody that you trust. If you can do it with Jesus and you have the grace to do it with Jesus, you do it. Give it to Jesus. There's nothing that's hidden in his eyes anyway. So don't harbor things from your past. I don't care what it is. I'll go as far as abortion, as if you were molested sexually, physically, emotionally, and it's still a stronghold that Satan has in your life that does not allow you to be free. Give it to Jesus Christ. We have the grace here and the understanding that him whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
He is free indeed. So get all rid of all things that beset you. Get rid of all things. I don't care. If you're ashamed of it, Jesus knows already anyway. Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. Share it with him. Say, Lord, and be specific with what you're sharing with him, what you want to unload. But if you've hurt somebody in that way, go back to that person and make it right. Tell him you're sorry. Ask him for forgiveness. And this isn't just for here. This is for anybody listening on this message on YouTube or anywhere else where they listen to it. Make things right with what you did. There is nothing more freeing in your life than knowing that Satan has nothing on you. I find that so freeing. And be sure to know this. The freedom that you enjoy came with a price. And we sang about this. Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for this freedom. But Satan, when you committed certain things, even as an unbeliever, and Satan comes back and brings you and throws you those in your face, deal with it. Say, and when he comes back and then you say, listen, I've dealt with this, Satan, get behind me. It's under the blood. Continually do that. You will get victory. The Apostle Paul made a statement in Acts. He said, I am not free from the blood of all men. Guess what he did? He killed people for believing in Jesus Christ. And yet, he said, I am free from the guilt of the blood of all men. There was nothing on him because he understood the grace of God and the freedom that it brought. Understand that. Reaching Out Ministry is here to bring you freedom. I will stand before God and answer to the freedom I brought you or the bondage I put you under. And I don't want bondage myself. I want freedom. And the freedom that I enjoy is the freedom to serve Jesus Christ in freedom without Satan having anything held over my head. So there is truly freedom in Jesus. But before I get into my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your freedom that you allow us to have and to enjoy. Lord, I want every person that I listen to this message to understand and get to know who you are and what you mean and what you can, what you bring to that relationship is freedom and the joy of life. Lord, that we will enjoy life in you and all things that you have given us richly to enjoy. So you will bless the words that come from my lips. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to anoint and to open the eyes of the blind that do not see. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. And you may be seated. My message is entitled today, Is the Law Still Relevant Today? Is it? Is the law still relevant? Ask yourself that question. I'm going to answer it for you. But ask it. Is it still relevant? In Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, Jesus speaking, Master, one of their leaders came and asked a question, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, You shall believe the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. It's almost the same thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. To get in depth of this study, verse 39, study 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the love chapter. Then you'll know what this is talking about. And this is impossible for you to attain without becoming born again. Both of them. To love Jesus with or God with all your might and all your mind and all your soul, only those who are born again will understand that scripture. Because I had no idea what it meant before I became saved. Oh yeah, you try to love God. But as being a born again child of God, I understand what loving God is. Do I do it all the time? It fails, but my desire is to know and to love God with all my heart and all my soul, because I understand what he did for me. And like I always say, I understand my shortcomings. The closer I get to him, and the closer I get to him, the more I see that I need him. And that's where that love comes in. The second one is you have to put an effort in. But you have a helper. Never forget that. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot. It is in that love is. Remember, the Holy Spirit shed that love abroad in your heart. So now you can love your neighbor. But it's a fight, because you're fighting now with your flesh. Somebody does something wrong to you. What's your reaction? You want to strike back. Oh, I'm going to get even with that sucker. That's our reaction, even as believers. But no, we have to retrain our thinking and say, I'm going to love him. I'm going to pour coals of fire on his head. I'll do good unto him whether he does good to me. Do we think like that? Well, that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we should try, because that's what Jesus did when they nailed him to the cross. He could have annihilated everyone that was a part in cahoots with bringing him to the cross. He had the power to do it, and yet he didn't. And this is we should have the mind of Christ. So on these two commandments, verse 40, hang all the law and the prophets. So everything is in those two scriptures. So is the law still relevant? 100% it is. There's only one difference now. It's written in our hearts. The key to righteous living is devotion. It is being attached to nothing and no one except to Jesus Christ himself. This does not mean being separated from the outside world. This is very interesting here. Our Lord was always in the world among ordinary people, that's Jesus when he was here on earth, doing ordinary things. His detachment was entirely on the inside. He never allowed himself to be tied down to anybody, because he knew people's hearts. That's what we should be. When you get to enjoy something in this life, you get into it, you can enjoy hunting, fishing, playing hockey, or whatever you enjoy doing, don't get attached to it with your heart. Enjoy it for what it is. It says, everything you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So do it with him in mind, even for being salt among those people. And I'm not talking about sin here. I'm talking about things you enjoy doing. His detachment was entirely on the inside, where he was attached only to God. That's Jesus, speaking about Jesus. So avoiding the world is often a sign of a secret inner attachment to the very thing we're trying to avoid. I'm going to read that again. That is so true. So if you see a religious person trying to avoid, saying, I don't watch TV because I'm too attached to it. Well, that doesn't take care of the problem. Sure, it takes care of the problem that you're not watching it, but you need to take care of the inner problem and change that inner thing. It's like a spirit of lust. I can have victory over all pornography and still struggle with a spirit of lust. I need to deal with the spirit of lust. That'll get rid of me wanting to watch pornography. So deal with the spirit that's within you. It's where all things happen, and it starts here. If you do not win up here, you're never going to win here. Because all battles are won and lost up in your mind. That's where they're fought. That's where Satan plants his seed, and his thoughts, and what do we do with those thoughts? I'm straying a little bit here on a rabbit trail of my message here. So when we become born again, these two commandments are essential for us to obey in order to prosper in all areas of our lives. And they become possible to obey once you become born again. The first one is easier, to love your Lord, God, with all your mind. The second one is made easy by our effort to honing in on the Holy Spirit and helping Him helping you. Because you can never take any credit for any good that you do that comes from you, with you yourself. It has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we are, when we become born again, we are a new creation. It is possible now to start. And remember this, going back to my opening statements, you are a new creation in Christ when you become born again. If Satan tells you about your past, tell him about his future. That's a cliche that I've heard over the years, time and time again. But remind him. It's the power is within your life. The power of life and death is in the power of your tongue. Tell him. Satan cannot read your mind. So when he tells you about your past, tell him about his future and tell him, my past is under the blood. I've taken care of that. But yours, you're doomed forever. Remind him of that. So we'll go into Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 15. Here are the promises and the blessings of God to the children, to his children. Is this still relevant? Well, let's read. That's God speaking to Moses, and then he brought it to the children of Israel. And it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, number one, and to do all his commandments, and we already read, I read you his commandments before, because in all those commandments are in those two, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you and me on high above all nations on earth. Not just the nation, us, but also the nation, if the nation will observe this. But we'll put this on an individual level. We'll talk to ourselves now, because this also means individually. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. There is a catch to this. There, I just read it. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Everything will be increased. This is God speaking. I'm not making this up. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. In other words, your storehouse. Whatever your business is, it'll be blessed. Why? Because you're listening to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. You're blessed. So Satan, everything I've done in my past, get behind me. I'm blessed. This is the price of not knowing what God has given us. If you do not know this, you can walk in defeat. But if you do know this and you hold this up as your banner, you will walk in victory. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. Every demonic oppression and every demonic thing, that's your real enemies. People are not your real enemies, Satan is, and his hordes. They will be smitten before your face, and even them that Satan uses, they will suffer defeat. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I see total victory here. I don't know what you guys are reading, but I see some really good promises here and good blessings. The Lord shall commend the blessings upon you and your storehouses. And in all that thou settest your hand onto, in other words, everything that you will touch, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So in your place where you have bought, the Lord will bless you. Wherever you're at, the Lord can bless you. The Lord shall establish you in a holy people. He has done that through his Son Jesus Christ. We are an established holy people, sanctified, set apart by one offering, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And again, I'll revert back to what I read before. You read the commandments. In those two commandments are all the law and the prophets. And all people of the earth, look what it says there. It doesn't say shall hear. They shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. I love that. There is really not much talking you need to do when it comes to Christianity, but be ready to give an answer to any man that asks of the hope that is within you. Let this show who you are. Life is a bit like a checkerboard. The more, it's like Satan and God playing checker. We want to make sure there's more of God's checkerboards on that checkerboard. We have dominion. And with God's power, we only need one to make 1,000 flee, or 100 flee, two to make thousands flee. 20, 50 of us can make millions flee. So we outnumber them vastly as vessels of God if we know the blessings and the promises of God. If you don't, we perish the same way as the unbeliever because of the lack of knowledge. And the Lord shall make you plenteous, plenteous in goods and in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground and in the land of which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give you. I hear Dwight every prayer meeting we have before we see that the Lord will bless their crops. Sure, we see drought come. We see too much rain drowning out. And guess what? At the end, he's reading 200 bushels an acre, 60 bushels for, or 40, 50 bushels for canola. I mean, unbelievable crops. He's doing his stand on God's promises. And that's what happens. He is there interceding. And then who else intercedes for us? Jesus at the right hand interceding for us. We are in a win-win situation. You can't lose. The only way you lose is you keep yourself ignorant from his promises of what he tells us. The Lord will open unto you his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in a season, to bless all the works of your hand, and you shall lend unto many, many nations in this case, and you shall not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If that you listen unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command thee this day, and to observe them and to do them. And there's a New Testament scripture that says, and his commandments are not grievous. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right nor to the left to go after other gods to serve them. And I'll just mention a few other gods. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be work. Whatever is dearer in your life than Jesus Christ is another god. Get rid of that god. Serve Jesus Christ. And if we as believers choose to follow God's laws that he placed inside of us by his grace to receive his blessing, will this conflict with what the Apostle Paul writes? This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. All those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Actually, no, it does not by any means contradict any of that. This just means you're not going with the flow of the way the world receives their blessings. You're going against it and God is giving your blessings. And there will be hatred for that. There will be, you'll be hated by people because you're not the dead fish that just goes with the way the water down the stream. You're actually going against that flow to receive those blessings which are given to us by God. What did Abraham say when the one guy wanted to bless him with many riches, those kings? He said to them, no, I don't want any of your riches. Then you will not be able to say, you've made Abraham rich. God is going to make me rich, he said. So he depended on, and this is before the law. He already knew God's promises, what they were, and that he can receive God's promises by being faithful to him. And then Satan and mostly his religious crowd are not going to like. And this is usually what you're up against. It's not even the world that hates you. It's the religious mindset. The people that are trying to please God with their own efforts. Those people are most likely, most of the time, the enemies of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And mostly his religious crowd are not going to like you for doing what you're doing and prospering by it. And they will call you a prosperity preacher. Well, we don't. I'm not a prosperity preacher. If you do what I say, you're a prosperity receiver. You receive God's prosperous love and grace and his mercies. That's prospering. And if financial blessings come with that, thank you, Jesus. And a lot of times they do. Sometimes they don't. But God has blessings all the time. And if you believe what I just read you, that also means financial. The mistake of turning God's blessings in your life, I'm going to go slower here. The mistake of turning God's blessings in your life into a preached message rather than a lived-out message is dangerous. Because that's what the problem is with the prosperity preachers who preach that if you send me $1,000, God is going to bless you with $10,000. See, that's not right. That is not what this is talking about. That is taking advantage of the Holy Spirit when people aren't convicted and they do that. And a lot of times they don't even get their $10,000. I just read to you how to prosper. That's how you prosper. Not by somebody on TV telling you to send them $1,000. And I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just saying, don't fall for that. That's not how you get blessed. So rather, lift out that message of prospering and then allowing people to see how you're prospering. But the scripture, verse 15, changes things here. However, the opposite is true if you do not listen to the voice of God. And I'm not going to go deep into that part because I'll just read one verse of it. You can study it yourself because my message today is about God's blessings. Verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass if you will not listen unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Then he goes into the next verses are all about the curses. There is a way to avoid this. It's to do what I read you before. Let's jump to Psalm 91, verse 1 to 11. These are unbelievable promises that we have. And again, they're hinged on something. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Number one, I'll ask you a question. What is the secret place? What's your secret place? You have a secret place, all of you, right now. You can have it here, right? Sitting in this room. Nobody can read your mind. It's your secret place and your heart. If God is dwelling, and remember, the kingdom of God is within you. If God is dwelling within you, and you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, then we will say, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. It's all the diseases that are being spread around. And He shall cover you with His feathers and under His wings. Jesus referred to this as He's like a hen who's calling all her little chickens to come under her so she can cover them with his wings. This is referring to his wings, and you shall take refuge in his truth, what I just read you in both books. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In other words, it's your defense. You shall not be afraid. This is past tense. You will not be afraid. If you do this, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Again, I'm not making this up. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. If you do these things, you're not even wishing that your enemies and wicked be rewarded. It will come. You will see their reward. This is what's going to happen. You will live to see the day where you will see the reward of the wicked. Because you, again, you're stating a fact, because you did make the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's quite a promise. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. This is a promise that you have. Amen. Psalm 91, verse 15 and 16, ending out that chapter this way in my message. And he shall call upon me. That's when you call upon him. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Are you in trouble? This is your answer. Here is your answer. I cannot, no matter what I say, I cannot even come close to this, what Jesus promises here. And guess what? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So is it God's will to give you a long life? Absolutely. It's God's will that nobody perish. It's God's will that no baby be aborted or killed. But there's two sides to this. There's a fight on. But my people perish for their lack of knowledge. We got to get to know the promises of God and know that they are yes, yes. And that concludes my message.